Wherever you are on your leadership voyage, it starts here.
Welcome, everyone, to season 3 of Leadership Voyage, the podcast dedicated to your pursuit of becoming a great leader. I'm your host, Jason Wick, and I'm very happy to be back for the 3rd season. We took a few months off after 2023's episodes, and we are going to get off to a strong start here today. Before we get right into our guest, who is Terrence Lee. It's the second time Terrence has been on the podcast. Before we get into all that stuff, let's talk about the housekeeping for those of you who might be new. The show is Leadership Voyage. The website is leadership.voyage. You can email me anytime you like, startyourvoyage@gmail.com. Feedback on the show, ideas for episodes, questions, comments, any of the above. Do not hesitate to reach out. I'm happy to hear from you. This show has been around now since 2022, and we've talked to several leaders out there in the world about a variety of topics. And today we are going to get back to Terrence Lee, who's known as the introvert leader. But today we're going to talk about something primarily that applies to more than just introverts with Terrence. We're going to talk about his new book and all that stuff, but we're going to be talking about leading with poise. And I think this is a really unique and interesting topic. I love the frame that Terrence puts around this subject. So I encourage you to listen to the entire discussion. If you want to support the show, check out in the show notes, Instacart. I myself am a customer. You can have groceries hand-picked by shoppers from grocery stores of your choice, delivered to your door in as fast as an hour. If you use the link in the show notes, you will get free delivery on your first order over $35. So go ahead and check it out. Snow day, delivered to your doorstep. Busy last second people visiting your house, delivered to your doorstep. Whatever you choose, whatever the challenge, give it a try, very little to lose. Free delivery on the first order over $35. And as I said, I myself am a customer. I've had several great experiences with Instacart. Okay, let's get to it, everybody. Here is my discussion with the introvert leader, Terrence Lee, on Leadership Voyage. All right, everybody. We are here to start season 3 on Leadership Voyage, and I'm so happy to have everybody back again in 2024. I am joined by Terrence Lee for the second time. Terrence, it's great to see you again.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on. Excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And Terrence, you've got a book coming up. This podcast will probably air sometime around March 25th, 26th, somewhere in there. You've got a book that you're working on coming up. When is that book going to come out? Do you know yet?
Yeah. So right now, the target for the book to come out is around mid-April.
Beautiful. So that'll work out perfectly, just in time. And the book is going to be called The Calm Effect: 5 Keys for Introverts to Succeed Without Stress and Lead with Poise. And this is a follow-up to the book we discussed in 2022, which was called Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader. And I love your angle. It's about introvert leaders. It's about doubling down on the strengths of introversion and a lot of things in my mind that apply to others as well. It's not only for introverts, but I love the angle that you bring. It's a really unique voice. So thank you for bringing it. But before we start to talk about the book and some of the concepts, you started up your podcast again this year, mm-hmm. and you were pretty transparent right off the bat about why you took a break from it. And I'm looking at a list of things you mentioned in this episode. You said in 2023, you were releasing an episode for the podcast, you know, almost every week. You were also writing a book. You were releasing social media content, speaking, family life, volunteering at church, full-time career, right? You said it felt like something had to give and that you were not mastering anything. What did you learn from what you went through in 2020 3 when it came to all of these things you were trying to juggle?
Great question. Great question. So, yeah, I mean, you got the list right. I mean, there were so many different things that I was trying to juggle at the time. And I think that what I learned was, you know, just like what you were kind of hitting on, right, in terms of not mastering anything. I think that sometimes in life, we can be trying to put our eggs in so many different baskets and trying to do so many things that we don't really feel like we're getting ahead in any of them. And that's how I began to feel. And, you know, ultimately, I think that that can lead to overwhelm, right? It can lead to overwhelm. It can lead to burnout. And, you know, the podcast was doing well at the time. Had definitely, you know, grown the listener base and was talking to fellow introverts and was awesome to do. But ultimately, it just, you know, was the right thing at the time to make that decision to take a break. And it really was freeing in a lot of ways, but I also was able to refocus. And then when I brought the podcast back recently, I really felt just more re-energized with it now. So yeah, I'm actually glad that I took a break for a while.
That's wonderful. Doing it your own way. I love that. How common do you think it is out there for people to be going through this overwhelm or burnout in their work situations? If any sense of how that is for folks?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you ask that. I think a lot of people are going through it and just don't even realize it because they're so used to it that it's just like, oh, this just becomes life. You know, I'm speaking from personal experience. I know that's what it was for me. You know, the industry I work in is very fast paced. It's constantly changing. And when you throw in a family life on top of that and business and extracurricular activities and all these different things, sometimes we just get used to that pace of life and we think that that's just what it's supposed to be. And when you begin to look up and you realize that, you know, you're feeling overwhelmed, but you don't know why, something feels off, you don't feel like you're as recharged or your energy is where it should be. Like when you start feeling like that, well, maybe it's because you're overwhelmed and doing too many things. But I think so many of us, we just do it and we keep doing it and we don't question it, right? So I think that it's important for all of us to really look at what we have on our plate and assess if it's really good for us.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for bringing it up. There's a self-awareness and a reflection components for sure that I'm hearing about from what you're describing. And I couldn't agree more. I'm sure many of us, you know, are on autopilot. Sometimes autopilot sounds like a positive, like, oh, there's little effort involved. But in the case of you're doing so many things and they're all on autopilot, yeah, I think you're bringing up a great point. Well, let's talk a little bit about the calm effect, okay, and some of the concepts in there. And I've only read the first chapter because that's the one on your site, but I'm trying to piece together some concepts and I love to get into them and help people get excited for this book before it comes out in mid-April. And what I'd like to do is have this conversation kind of in two sections. The first is really touching on that word poise that is in the title of your book. And then also later on, maybe get really specific around introverts and introversion, because, you know, there's definitely extroversion bias out there, particularly in leadership, right? So let's talk about calm. Let's talk about poise. Sorry. You talk about a little anecdote in your book, and I love the sports anecdotes in your books. You talk about, I think it was 1989, and Joe Montana, the Hall of Fame quarterback from the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Could you tell us a little bit about that story and how it relates to poise?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's funny because when I was a kid, we lived in Northern California at the time of that Super Bowl. So I was a big 49ers fan. My dad was as well. I didn't know about this story until I researched this, you know. So back then I was just watching a game. But now as an adult, when I read that, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So essentially what happened, the 49ers were playing the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. And at the time, they were down by 3 points. I think the Bengals had just scored. And so Joe Montana and the 49ers had to drive the entire field over 90 yards to try to tie or win the game. So you can imagine the amount of pressure, millions of eyes on you between the people in the stadium and the people watching at home and just all of that pressure. And in those moments, what most people would do is they would feel that pressure and they would tense up and they would have a certain very serious kind of demeanor or attitude about things. And what Joe did was he looked in the crowd and he saw at the time legendary actor John Candy eating some popcorn. And he made a comment to one of his offensive linemen, and he's like, "Hey, isn't that John Candy over there?" And, you know, the offensive lineman kind of chuckled. He's like, "Yeah, that's him." Which seems like a really weird thing to do in one of the biggest moments of your life, right? But yeah. What's interesting, and I watched an interview that was online with Harris Burton, the offensive lineman, and he was talking about it, and he talked about how it helped to loosen him up. He talked about how the rest of the huddle after Joe did that, everyone was a lot looser and a lot more calm. And all of a sudden, the over 90 yards that they had to go, they were just looser. They didn't have the level of seriousness and all of that that was there before, and the nerves were a lot more calm. And they were able to drive the field, and they ended up scoring, and they won the Super Bowl. So I just thought it was a really good example of poise in leadership, because in the workplace and in business, there are similar situations, right? There are deadlines that are tight. There are things that go wrong and you have to fix it. There are conflicts that happen with coworkers. And as a leader, how are you going to deal with that? There are so many scenarios, and oftentimes we don't approach them with poise. And so I wanted to get into that with the first chapter of the book, is just how do we develop poise and how do we carry that out as leaders? So that's why I use that as an example.
Thanks for the explanation, Terrence. And for those who are sports fans out there and who are old enough to remember that 1989 Super Bowl, you were probably single digits, right? And I was like 10 or 11 or something. And I still remember that, actually. Now, I didn't know the story about, hey, isn't that John Candy? You know, which is a fantastic way to introduce levity. But what we saw was the result, right? And even if you don't pay attention to sports, you know, you knew who Joe Montana was, right? You kind of know his nickname of Joe Cool and the legendary poise, as you're suggesting. And I love it because you're telling this through a story, and we remember stories, which is wonderful. So let's take that into that topic a little bit of having poise. And if I hear you correctly, I don't want to jump to a huge conclusion, but are you suggesting perhaps that if we have poise, we are able to perform at close to our best?
Absolutely. Okay. And I want to be very clear that some people, when they hear the word calm or they hear the word poise, they might link that with someone that is weak or they're soft or they're being not assertive or something like that. And that's absolutely the opposite of what I'm suggesting. You can have poise, but you also can still assert yourself in the way that you do it. It's just you're doing it differently. A lot of people, when they think about leadership, they're thinking about the louder voice in the room or the person that has a more extroverted personality. And a lot of these biases get thrown in the workplace, where poise is really just thinking logically, coming from a space where your nerves are calm when you're making decisions, when you're speaking to your team, when you're listening. It's just an overall attitude and a way that you approach things. So I think that absolutely, when someone has poise, they're able to make better decisions and they're able to lead better.
Wonderful. Let's talk about the concept of practicing to practice speaking calmly. You talk about in the first chapter, I think it is, asking the reader to evaluate what happens when they're agitated. Why do you ask that question, or encourage folks to ask themselves that question?
Absolutely. Great question. I'm glad you asked about that. So a lot of people, and I will say for myself as well, I had to do the same thing. When we're in scenarios where we're frustrated, or we're in situations at work and business, even our personal lives, right? And we're having these conversations. I've had to do this when I'm speaking to my wife. You'll be having certain conversations, and somebody may say something that triggers an emotion in you, and then your response can come off a certain way because you're responding to the way that that person spoke to you, right? And a lot of us, we respond in these ways, and we never even think to take the time to think, hey, how do I sound right now to that person? How am I coming off in the way that I'm talking, in the way that I'm communicating? I had to do this exercise myself. And so I really wanted to encourage the reader. One of the things about poise and calmness is not allowing outside influences to affect our energy in the way we communicate, right? So I want to be able to have my poise and my calmness in my speech regardless of what someone else is doing. Because one of the other examples I give in the book is former President Barack Obama, when he was giving a speech at the State of the Union, and a senator yelled out to him, and basically the way that that could have changed his entire energy. You know, he could have yelled back, and it could have been this whole, you know, shouting match back and forth, where really what we need to do is, regardless of how we're being spoken to or what the terms of that is, we keep our level of poise, we keep our speech, and we approach it that way. So it's not to mean that we're being a pushover or we're being soft. It's not that at all. We're actually able to keep our control and just remain our poise regardless of how someone's talking.
How can someone improve their self-awareness around something like this? If they maybe have identified that they might think that they're being triggered emotionally by someone in professionally or personally, you know, what's a tactic that somebody could try out?
Yeah, absolutely. So listening to yourself and monitoring yourself, it sounds a little weird, but I've actually done this where I'll have a difficult meeting coming up and I'll record the meeting because I want to hear how my tone sounded. I want to hear how that other person's tone sounded, and I want to just listen to the conversation because so much of it is tone. A lot of people think it's the words, but a lot of it is the way that we're saying things. And so, you know, one tactic is to listen to yourself. And that may be recording a conversation on your phone or recording it if you're in a virtual meeting, where you can go back and you can listen to, hey, when this person said this thing that I didn't like, how did I respond to that? And then at that point, you can begin to see certain things. And if it's not a response that you liked, well, now you can course correct and maybe do something different in the future. But it's hard to do that if you don't really hear the way that you're sounding. Because sometimes when you hear it, it's surprising. It's like, oh, wow, I sounded like I was pretty upset. But in the moment, you may not have thought you sounded that way because you're just talking, right? So that's one tactic, is to listen to yourself back and see how you sound.
That's a great suggestion. Thanks for sharing that. For anybody who, you know, and I mean, any of us is going to have a challenge with this at some point in time, one way or the other. But if you know, you're out there listening and you think, oh boy, I wonder why people react to me when I speak sometimes, or something like this, there's an improvement in the self-awareness that could come from this kind of rigor around what you're suggesting, I think, Terrence. I don't remember if we talked about this last time. I know that you grew up singing in choir and whatnot, but I have a music degree, a performance music degree. And actually, yeah, one of the things you're always doing as a musician, as you're developing that craft, is you record yourself, because oftentimes you're sitting there playing. I mean, for me, I was an instrumentalist, but you play the instrument, you hear it from where you are, and you think it sounded great. When you go listen to the recording, it's not exactly what you thought it was. So I can definitely identify with that. You also talk about having, and it might be related, but having patience, slowing down, particularly in high pressure environments in which, you know, there's a lot of fast paced things going on in the world today on every level. A lot of high pressure environments and expectations for those of us at work, especially if we're leading others formally or informally. You talk about thinking inwardly and thinking out loud, and that might touch a little bit on introversion versus extroversion. Can you tell us a little bit about how that relates to having patience and slowing things down a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So oftentimes the introvert will have an approach where they're going to think more before speaking. And oftentimes someone that's more extroverted is going to talk to think. And this isn't in every case. One thing that I have been saying a lot more, especially the more research I've been doing, is a lot of people are just somewhere on the scale. So you have extroversion and you have introversion, and some people are a little bit in the middle. So these are just kind of in general what an introvert typically would do, and in general what an extrovert would do. But often with the introvert, thinking before speaking becomes a very advantageous thing to do, because sometimes when you just say the first thing that's on your mind without really thinking through it, without thinking through how it may affect someone else, without thinking through the pros and cons of the idea, you're just kind of putting things out there, right? And sometimes that works. But a lot of times when we have our patience, we're thinking of something and we're thinking of, how is this going to impact the room? How are people going to take this? What are the pros of this decision? What are the cons of it? You know, what I'm about to say, how will that impact this conversation? And when we take a few seconds and we think before we speak and we're patient and do that, it can really help from a leadership perspective. I mean, this is something that I've started to enact myself here over the past few years, and I've seen a huge difference when I just take a few seconds, because sometimes I'll have a thought to say something, and instead of saying it, I'll wait and I'll hear a few other things in the conversation, and then I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't say that. It's crazy how that happens. And then now that I've heard some more information, I'm able to make a more informed, you know, I can say something that's more informed, right? So that makes a big difference. I think just slowing down, not feeling the pressure to have to say the first thing on our mind, but being able to think through it, and then we express it. And oftentimes the thought comes out a lot better.
I like that. There are a lot of different angles to what you're bringing up. There's the kind of prototypical introversion versus extroversion piece where we're processing what's going on in our heads. There's the idea that by actually taking that time to think, there's an advantage to what happens in front of us and we might get more information. I love it because it doesn't matter who we are, I think, right now listening, it can help us, this idea. I read something maybe 6-7 years ago, which was this idea of, as if you're a leader, particularly, counting to one, which I found like, what? Count to one? And it was like, just by the fact that you counted and took that pause, you created an opportunity for someone else to get in there. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to get in there and speak first, right? And the higher you are in the org chart, or the more influence you have over people around you, the more those words do matter and impact other people. So there sounds like there's very little to lose in waiting a couple of seconds. What I love here is, I think this can relate to the influence that a leader has on the people around them or on their team, because you talk about two leaders in your first chapter of your book. One of them is named Bob, and Bob's team feels like they might get fired. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this story and this example is based on real people. This is based on a real experience from a past company I was at. And of course, I didn't use real names in this case, but I lived it. I was on this team, and there was one program manager who was literally the type where when he walked in the room for a meeting, you just didn't know how it was going to go. You just didn't know if he was going to be in a good mood that day, or if he was going to tell everybody they were terrible and to get out of the office. I mean, he was a very polarizing person. So his leadership style was not inspiring. We had very tight deadlines, a customer that needed our product, you know, yesterday. I mean, we were already behind schedule on things. And so there was a lot going on. And I feel like we as a team would have worked a lot. We already were working hard, but we would have worked even harder for him if he had been different. Like, I think there are some people where there was just no motivation there. I mean, he kind of sucked the motivation out of the team. But long story short, you know, with him, there were some engineers that he tried to get off the team. There were some people he would just directly call out in meetings in front of everyone. Just a very, like, kind of not a positive attitude. So that was leader number one. Now, leader number two, very similar circumstances, very similar pressures and customer schedule and all of those things. But his approach was just very different. We would have a difficult meeting where everyone was just dreading this meeting, and he would show up with donuts, right? Or, you know, he'd show up with tacos or something. And
yeah,
that seems really small, right? That doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but he would just start off the meeting. Hey guys, come get a donut. Hey, how was your week this week? Right. Things like that. When people would express ideas, he would actually listen to the ideas and he wouldn't cut them off. He would let them talk. He let them get their thoughts out, which was completely opposite to the other leader. The other leader was very quick to cut people off. If someone said something, he would kind of berate that person or make it sound like it was just a terrible idea. It just not a very good environment. So the second leader, I wanted to contrast those two, because I think this happens a lot in the workplace where you'll have someone that's working in a toxic environment and they get in a positive environment and that person completely changes. I mean, their performance is better. They're inspired. Like, the leader that someone works for makes all the difference in the world. So I just really wanted to contrast that and show that from a real life example.
Yeah, thanks for getting into all the detail. And I'd suspect most folks out there can identify with the two versions that you call out there to some degree or another, right? And it does come to that level of safety, and it comes to, you know, wanting to put in that extra effort for your leader. And there's something to that. And I think I like this story too, because it still goes back to the Joe Montana story, right? I'm sure there's a very strong rapport in that huddle with those 11 guys.
Yep.
And then they already have that dynamic. And then in the high pressure moment, which you're just talking about, high pressure moments on team A or leader A versus leader B, this is the time when all of that stuff is supposed to pay off.
Yes. Right?
So I love that. We've talked a little bit here about kind of, oh, by the way, it sounds like Bob could take some of your advice. I would say we already talked about, right? Speaking calmly, slowing down. So I think everybody can identify with that. So thanks for sharing it. We've touched on introverts here a little bit. That is your angle, right? I mean, I don't want to, you know, trivialize and summarize you, right? But your angle is the introvert leader. And we've talked a little bit about prototypical introvert, extrovert, but you do talk about some traits of introvert leaders. And I'm going to list five of them that you've written down. And I'd love for you to tell us why any one of these or a couple of these you think are such important assets in leadership for an introvert. So here are the five things I've written down: deep listening skills, thoughtful decision-making, introspection, creativity, and empathy. Any of those stand out to you that you want to talk a little bit more about why they're so valuable?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll pick specifically on two. So I think the deep thinking is one that is very key. And, you know, here's the reality. I mean, introverts can think deeply. Extroverts can think deeply as well. So it's not me suggesting that extroverts can't think deeply. But oftentimes, kind of going back to what we mentioned before, the introvert is going to think more before speaking or having certain discussions, conversations. And I think there's a lot of strength in that, because a lot of the ideas that get presented in meetings and in discussions, they're the type of discussions where, you know, for example, one meeting that we had here a few weeks ago, this particular meeting is going to completely make or break our project for the next 2 years. So, you know, there are certain decisions that get made on the front end of projects where it takes very deep thought. It takes thinking about, hey, what's everything that could go wrong? What's everything that could go right? If we go down this direction, what are the risks? What are the opportunities to do better? There are a lot of angles and things that need to be thought about. So someone that's able to really think deeply through all of those things and then really help to rally the team around that conversation and around those things, like having those skills together, are very key. So for introverts that are able to do that, there's a distinct advantage. And then I think one of the other ones I want to key on is empathy. Being able to be empathetic with people. It's interesting, in these fast-paced work environments, I feel like sometimes we're so focused on the work, right? We're so focused on the tasks that we forget the people. You know, we forget the people that have feelings, the people that are going through different things, the way that we talk to people, the way that we have conversations, the fact that somebody might have completely just bent over backwards for our team. And if we don't just simply tell them thank you, they may not feel appreciated and they might leave. I've seen that. You know, I was in functional management for a number of years, and one of the main reasons why people would leave different groups was not feeling appreciated. Most people think it's the pay, right? Most people think it's money, and sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's someone not feeling heard, someone not feeling seen. So I think for introverts that are able to really connect with people and be empathetic, and something as simple as knowing that you need to tell a person thank you, or knowing that somebody's going through a difficult day right now, so maybe today's not the day to have that tough discussion. Maybe I need to have this discussion another day, because right now it's just kind of not the time. Like, there are a lot of different things that play into that. So those are two specific things I'd say that are strengths for introverts that can definitely be used.
Yeah, thank you. Thoughtful decision-making, empathy, really two great things to key in on there. So thanks for diving into those a little bit, Terrence. Speaking of thoughtful decision making, taking time. You referenced earlier, leader B, the positive version of the leader, not Bob, how they listened, for example. You mentioned that introverts, quite often will enjoy deep conversation. From a leadership point of view, how do you think that's a benefit or a detriment, actually, that they thrive, generally speaking, with deep conversation?
Yeah. So I think that there's deep conversation, and then there's, what we would call as introverts, small talk that can happen. I think that deep conversation is needed at times. Now, I will say this, on the flip side of that, to answer both sides of the question, there are some times where you just have to kind of get to what the root of the problem is and have a quick decision and move forward, right? So deep conversation is good to be able to have, but it's also has to be balanced with sometimes when there's a shorter timeline and decision has to be made, you need to be able to just kind of have the quick conversation as well, right? So being able to balance both of those things, I think, is very important. But ultimately, people can tell, I think, when you're really in tune and really listening to them. And when they can tell that, you're able to have a deeper, more than just surface level conversation with them. And that's the kind of thing that builds trust. And I think that's where the introvert oftentimes is in a unique position, because if you can connect with somebody and get them to trust you, then you can be an effective leader, because now you have someone that's really going to work with you and want to work with you, right? But, again, on the flip side, although I love deep conversation, there are some times where I don't maybe have as much time to have as long of a conversation with someone on my team as I may want, or vice versa. Like, they may not have as much time. So sometimes we need to have our deep conversation, but maybe pull it into a few minutes. So you have to be able to do that as well.
The mini deep conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for expanding on that a little bit, Terrence. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe we've already talked for a half an hour, but we're going to start wrapping it up, but we're going to make sure everybody understands the book, where they can reach you, all that stuff. We'll get to all that wrap up in just a second here, but I want to make sure to ask you the same question that I ask everybody at the conclusion of our conversations on the podcast. And that is, what is something that you've learned recently?
Yeah. I love this question. So I recently learned that I think I am a HSP, a highly sensitive person. I had no idea what that even was. And I kept hearing about it on social media and in different podcasts and things about this HSP, kind of this buzzword. And it's essentially someone that they're very sensitive to various things in their environment, and they feel a lot. And for a long time, I've been the kind of person where I can just sense different things. And when I'm in different environments, if the energy is not that good, I feel it. If the energy is great, I feel that. I've just been like that for a long time. So when I read the definition of what an HSP was, I thought that was really interesting. And then I saw, based on some research, that over 60% of introverts identify as HSPs. So I thought that was interesting. So that is my recent learning about myself, was that. And I've been now doing a lot of research into highly sensitive people and what that means and all of that. So yeah, it's been interesting.
Thanks for sharing that personal anecdote, Terrence. That's great. And it's, to kind of bring it back around, it's interesting for me to think about as well, where we kind of started from, around, what happens when you're agitated. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I'm kind of going, okay, well, if you're highly sensitive to the environment and the conditions aren't conducive, I might be agitated. And then I have to start talking about all the stuff we just talked about here to help me grow, right? Is that fair? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Kind of full circle. Well, wonderful. Thank you. So we've got Terrence Lee, the introvert leader. I've had a great time talking to you again today. Let's see, to recap, your last book was Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader. Really good book. I recommend it to everybody. Your book that's going to come out in mid-April is The Calm Effect, 5 Keys for Introverts to Succeed Without Stress and Lead with Poise, which we've talked about today quite a bit. Your podcast has been rebranded, I believe, as The Introvert Experience, so folks can go find that. If there's one place or multiple places you'd like to direct folks to learn more about
you, your ideas, your services, offerings, et cetera? What would you like to direct them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm most active on social media on Instagram at The Introvert Leader. I also have a YouTube channel at The Introvert Leader. And I'm sure it'll be in the show notes, the link to download the first chapter of The Calm Effect. I would love everyone to download that. And, you know, as you just mentioned, it'll be coming out in April. So looking forward to hearing everyone's feedback on that.
Wonderful. And Terrence, I just got to add on, you carry yourself with such humility. I'm on your email list. I have been for a couple of years. I'll reply to your email and you'll reply back to me. So that's really cool, right? Like when Terrence is saying right now to you all listening, I'd love for you to download the chapter or read the book and provide feedback. He's not just saying those words. He means it and engage. It would be great. As far as Instagram, I got to tell you, I just laugh. And I mean, I don't know if that's the intention, but I absolutely love it because your angle on Instagram is perfect for the nighttime scroller with their sound off, right? Talk about embracing introvert. You have like a written sentence in the frame and you sit there with a cool look on your face and you point to it and you like hardly say a word, right? It's just brilliant. So follow The Introvert Leader, you said, right?
Yep, that's it.
Introvert Leader on Instagram, YouTube. Definitely take a minute and find Terrence, everybody. So Terrence, again, great to talk to you for the second time. My pleasure, and have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate it. You too. This has been awesome.
Really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Terrence. I myself had a really good time. It was nice to catch up with Terrence again and talk about his new book and these concepts, many concepts, but central to this discussion really was poise. Before I get to the quick summary of the show notes, that discussion with Terrence, just a reminder, if you're looking for a great grocery delivery and want to support the show, check out the link in the show notes for Instacart. Check out the show's website, leadership.voyage. You've already found us, but you can find us on any place where you find podcasts. And I want to encourage you, go ahead and email me, Jason Wick, at startyourvoyage@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and start building the community even more. So I want to encourage you to do that this season. Terrence and I talked a little bit at the beginning about his personal life last year in 2023, doing too many things at once, which can lead to becoming a master of nothing, can lead to overwhelm. And some folks are on autopilot this way. They're not really evaluating what's going on, and it just becomes normal. We talked about poise, and the great story here was Joe Montana in the 1989 Super Bowl. Poise enables high performance. Don't perceive it as weakness or lack of assertiveness. Speaking calmly, how do we get there? Well, first, be aware of your emotional triggers. The tone in your communication matters. Try to reduce the impact of outside influences on the presence that you bring. And you can listen to yourself or monitor yourself. You can record yourself in meetings to see how you're sounding when you have certain responses. Try to have patience and slow down. There are different ways to process information, right? There's thinking inwardly versus thinking out loud. And that quite often is correlated with introverts versus extroverts. But regardless, don't feel the pressure to say the first thing that comes to your mind. There can be a lot of value in leaving that space. When talking specifically about introverted leaders, we talked about several traits. Some of the strengths that Terrence called out were deep thinking, the strength in evaluation on the front end of something, empathy, remembering the people, showing appreciation to those, not just focusing on the work to be done, and having this enjoyment for deep conversation. Context does matter. Sometimes a quick decision is necessary, but the advantage of having deep conversation, and introvert leaders tend to be good at this. When I asked Terrence, what has he learned recently? He brought up highly sensitive people. And this is someone who is very sensitive to their environment and feel things very deeply. And over 60% of introverts identify as HSPs, We then kind of brought the conversation all the way back around to say that a highly sensitive person who might be affected by the environment could then more easily perhaps have this get in the way of them showing poise. So those are your show notes for my discussion with Terrence Lee. Thank you all for listening, and everybody take care.